Yeah, on the morning of the resurrection, Jesus is going to do the opposite of skydiving. We're going up to the parachute. You know what? It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait for that. Dollywood ain't got a ride. It ain't got nothing on that. Nothing. Amen. People think Christianity is boring. I don't know of anything that presents that opportunity. Do you? To be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, to be caught up with the Lord in the air. People think Jesus is boring. It's amazing. It's interesting, isn't it? Gone. Be gone. Amen? Amen. Thank God for that. Thank the Lord for that. It's already been good to be here, hasn't it? It's been wonderful to be here tonight. We thank God for the singing service and the testimony and the song at an unusual but perfect time. Amen? Thank God for that. Thank Him so much for this meeting already. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 John 4, verse number 10. Again, it's good to be here. It is good for us to be here. I'm glad my family's here. I am. I'm glad your family's here. I always wanted, I took it for granted so long, my dad never was with us in church, and I always wanted that, and I'm glad that we can provide it for my family, and when kids get older, I know they'll appreciate it so much, and it's just good. Amen? Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10, continuing on our teaching and preaching through the book of 1 John, still on the subject of love, still on the subject of love. Here's what it must mean then. It must be pretty important. So we should put an emphasis on where the Bible places the emphasis. That's where we should place our emphasis. Like, some people like will get, it's like an internal argument. You might not even know this has been an argument. Like, who wrote the book of Hebrews? So the Christian church for the last many, many years, centuries, has been arguing about it. Was it, who wrote the book of Hebrews? Was it Paul? Was it Apollos? Who wrote it? Was it Luke? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? And, well, we don't know for sure. So if the Lord wanted us to know that for sure, then we would know for sure. So we spend all this time trying to find out something that the Bible is somewhat quiet on. And so then the Lord must want us to know something else. So like in the book of 1 John, there's so much written in the book of 1 John that draws our attention to the subject of love. And loving the saints, and what does it mean, and why do we love the saints? And remember, we're starting to understand that that means our nature's been changed, that God is love, and this love that God has, that He bestows it upon people that share in His nature, and therefore that we love like God loves because we are of God, and so on and so forth. So we begin to realize how important this subject is for your life and my life. The emphasis is placed on our love for one another. And let me say, it's unnatural for the believer because they don't love you in that sense. You're the enemy of the world. But it is natural for the believer to love the people of God because of your new birth, that you take on in your heart the nature of God. And so the great evidence that you know God is that you love what God loves, and you do not love the world. So let's begin reading at verse number 10 of chapter 4 of the book of 1 John. And we stopped here, not last Sunday night before that. Herein is love. So here is love. This is it. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God sent His Son to be the propitiation. And remember, we learned that that means that Jesus is where the wrath and the anger of God was appeased. So God is, he now can forgive and He can accept you because His wrath was poured out on His Son, that He became sin for you who knew no sin. He became your sin, and there God exhausted His displeasure over your sin, His wrath over your sin, on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said this is what love is, that God would send His only Son to be the propitiation for your sins. And it gets even more, we should be more appreciative when we think about it, as we tried to two Sunday nights ago, here in His love, not that we love God, because that's easy to do, remember. To love God is easy to do. It's like when you're a child, especially if you had a good mother, you loved your mom. That's easy to do because that's your mother. And so here in His love, not that we love God, because loving God should be easy. This good God that is so good, He gave His Son for us. God is easy to love. So our love to God isn't so that really that much that noteworthy compared to God's love for us. God didn't turn His back on us. We turned our backs on God. God didn't sin against us. We sinned against God. God didn't reject us. We rejected God. And it's not that we love God, that's amazing. That's not what's more amazing. It's that the God that I rejected Him, and yet He still loves me. That's love. And He loved me so much, not to just have a sentimental love towards this criminal, rebellious sinner, that He not only just had a sentimental love, but His love was demonstrated or commendeth toward us, Romans 5 teaches. That it was commendeth or demonstrated toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And that us is not God who's good. That us is us who is bad. That is love. That God would love like that. And I described it, remember, that for us loving God is loving the easy way. But God loving us, that's love the hard way. That God loves the hard way. And we discovered that we then love the hard way, and that proves that we are of God. Because it's easy to love people who love you. It's easy to love good people. But that the love of God is that God loved bad people. That's what's amazing about the gospel. That's why it's not presented to good people, because they don't understand it. It's presented to bad people, you and me. That God loves you, and you're not so bad that God don't love you, trust me. You're not so bad. You ain't done enough bad that God doesn't love you. You can't do enough bad that God won't love you. Now, that's not an excuse to be bad, but it's amazing that nobody here tonight, or nobody listening down the road, nobody listening any time this sermon, that you cannot lay an accusation that God's going to run out of love, because God sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins, that He became sin for us. And that's the gospel that is to be praised, and we should worship God for who He is and what He's done. So God loves the hard way. So then when you get to verse number 11, John again says, beloved, and it's like he can't help to love. And the reason why he can't is because he's been born of God who loves the hard way. And so in verse number 11, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, and he did, if God so loved us, notice the language. If God so loved us, and we need to think here, who is us? It's not people who deserve to be loved. It's not people who have earned love. It's not people who God, it's easy for God to love. Who is us? We think so good of ourselves, but we're not good. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. None of us are good. We're all dirty, rotten criminals. We're rebels, and we desperately needed to be born again. And even our new birth, we can't run around boasting about it. All we must do is say, thank God for His amazing grace. Amen? We have nothing to brag about. Nothing. You can't boast in nothing save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing to brag about. I read a quote the other day. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, and I'll paraphrase it, completely unprepared for this remark. I'll paraphrase it. He said, I try not to run around boasting that I am saved. He said, I try to run around boasting that God saved me. That's what I try to run around boasting about. That I run around thanking God that I should throw myself at the foot of the cross for God saving me, because I didn't do nothing. Amen? You didn't do anything. Nothing at all. Don't ever think you did. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Amen? And let me, little side note, since it's not of yourself, you can be saved, right? Because nobody could save themselves. And thank God, it's not of yourself. And since it's not of yourself, it is by grace. And since it's by grace, it's freely offered. And you can receive it since it's not of yourself. It says, beloved, if God so loved us. So remember who us is. Don't think so highly of yourself. I think it'd be wonderful for you and I every once in a while to be reminded or come to the terms or the depths of our own personal depravity. For us to realize that apart from the grace of God, we are vile and wretched in the sight of God. He saves you for Jesus' sake. He doesn't save you for your sake. It's not that he thinks so highly of you, but it's he thinks so highly of his Son. His Son became the propitiation for your sins. God saves you for Jesus' sake. God saves you for the kindness of his Son. God saves you because of the work of Christ on the cross. And who is us? And sometimes we're bad about that. We think, well, God had to save me. You've probably amen this before. You heard preachers say it this way, that God would be just and damning every one of you to hell. And many times you've all said, amen, that's right. And we need to keep that knowledge, and we need to put that in the word us in verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, now look what happens next. We ought to do what? We ought also to love one another. Now this is even more interesting than verse number 10. Not that we love God, that's not love, but that God loves us. That's what the Bible said love is. But beloved, if God so loved us, and that's amazing, and we should praise God for that statement. But we ought to also love one another. It's easier for me to love another criminal because that's what you are. And it's easier for a sinner to love a sinner. But God, if God loved a just, holy, perfect, righteous God, loved you, then therefore you have no excuse to love each other. You see how it works? What God did was even harder than what God's asking you to do. If God can love us, some of you think, well, of course he loves me. Hey, easy. You're not the fairest of them all, you know? Don't think so highly of yourself next time you look in the mirror. Don't do that. As a matter of fact, James gives us some interesting commentary on that subject, and we should even use the law of God as the correct mirror that we need to see ourselves, not as beautiful, immaculate, wonderful beings, but we ought to see ourselves as fallen creatures, thanking God for the grace that saved us if we're saved. And if we're not, we are in desperate need of saving grace. Amen? Beloved, if God so loved us, now what is love? That God would love us, not that we love God. And John, no wonder John says, listen, he says, if God loves you, if God can love you, then you ought to love them. If God can love them, you should love them. You're like them. If God, who's perfect and righteous and just, can love the ones who aren't and the ones who rebelled against God, then no wonder John says, then you are them, you ought to love them. Now, my kids, sometimes they come in the house and they are filthy. Amen, children? Here's what they do. Their feet are black as coal. You put shoes on them, they don't need shoes. What are shoes for? You know? And they come in the house, and they stink, and their feet are nasty. They don't think their feet are nasty. They don't even care about nasty feet, but their feet are nasty. Nathan's feet might be nasty. Avery and Madison's feet might be nasty. They're fine with their nasty feet. I don't really like it. Brittany don't really like it. You know, we got about a... When was it? I guess almost a year ago. You think the pandemic's bad. We ordered 2 chairs in May, and they still ain't got to our house. You know that? Guess we'll be sitting on the floor for a while, maybe. And then we got these new couches from Knoxville Wholesale Furniture. You know, we think, we're going to keep these couches clean, you know. They ain't going to be like the other couches. These couches are going to stay clean. You say that all the time. This new car ain't going to be like the other one, right? But if... them dirty feet come in. And listen, we're the children with the dirty feet, and we don't even think they're dirty. We are. We've trampled into the world's filth. And we, therefore, ought to love each other because we're just like each other. If God would love us and our dirty, sinful feet, then surely you and me can love each other. It's a lateral move. You see it? It would make more sense for us to love each other than it would even for us to love God. We have more in common with each other than we even do with God. And it's not such a big deal that we love God, but it's a bigger deal that God loves us. And since God loves us, it ought to be easy for us to love us. You see how it works? You have no excuse then. John the Apostle, through the Spirit of God, has us all cornered, don't he? If God can love us, then you can love us. If God can love us, then you must love us. And so, verse number 12, he said, no man has seen God at any time. What that means is, and there's been a lot of smart Bible minds trying to wrestle with that statement, but what I gather is, thus far, is that God, we know a lot about God, but there's still yet a lot about God shrouded in mystery. God is like looking at the Himalaya Mountains. You can see the Himalaya Mountains, but you really don't know the Himalaya Mountains. Like, I can see the ocean, but I really don't know everything there is about the ocean. And we know things about God, but there's still a lot about God that He's shrouded in mystery. And it has to be that way, or He'd cease to be God. You know this famous statement. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You can never come to my terms. That's what God is saying. So God is shrouded in mystery, but it's amazing, though. It's amazing. No man has seen God at any time. If we love God, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. It simply means this, that God is shrouded in mystery, but His love is on complete display. That His love isn't shrouded in mystery. That His love is fully known. His love is noticed. His love is completely advertised. That we know, we don't know everything about God, but we know about the love of God, and that isn't at all shrouded in mystery. It is so exposed. God says in verse number 10, this is love. This is love, that you love each other the hard way. That you love each other, and it should be easier. Because if God loved you, then you should love them. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, the Bible said, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. His love makes us perfect for every task. His love perfects us to be the parents we need to be. His love perfects us to be the ministers of the gospel that we need to be. His love changes us. Or you can look at it this way. Or the more you love, the more others experience God. The more you love as a person, as a child of God, the more your neighbors experience God. The more you love, the more God is revealed. The more God is felt. The more God is noticed. The more God is seen. That it's not at all shrouded in mystery concerning the love of God. It's to be seen and noticed and experienced. And it's to be the reality of every believer in this church building. It is not at all mysterious. Hearing His love. You know what makes an amazing church service? Not good singing, good loving. Good loving makes a good church service. You know what makes a good church service? Not so much preaching should be good. And I'm not talking about the manner in which it's preached. I'm not talking about the cadence in which the rhythm of the preacher preaches. I'm not talking about, no, good preaching is the word of God. Amen. I've heard preachers whisper, and it affects me more than a shouting preacher. And I've heard a shouting preacher preach, and I can barely understand what he's saying. But you know what? I feel God's spirit in that man. I'm not talking about that. You know what makes good preaching? The love of God makes good preaching. You know it? Everybody that ever had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, they left knowing this. He just loved me so much. You know, love is a great commentary for the Christian experience. You know, you might not know what in the world that Sunday school teacher's talking about, but if you know that Sunday school teacher loves you, you're like, wow, I'm so glad to be in this class. This is what I needed. What? You needed to experience the love of God. That's what you needed. The greatest commentary on the Christian experience is the love of God. It's like it perfects everything. You ever noticed it? It can... You put the love of God in an awkward situation, make everything better. It's like butter. We cook, we eat a lot of butter at our house. Put butter in anything, you know? Put butter in your ice cream. I'm sure it works. Put butter in your bacon. I saw this thing, Brittany, today. They make these biscuits, and they melt a bunch of butter, and they cook the biscuits in the melted butter. I think, that's got to be good. You know it has to be good. The love of God is the butter of cooking. It's the butter of this church, rather. I mean, you might not like green beans, but you put enough butter in it, it'll be good. You know, it'll be amazing. Maybe even potted meat with butter might be okay. Amen, Brother Tom? You put enough butter in it. So what does that mean? The love of God. The love of God. Think about it. The love of God. It's no longer shrouded in mystery. No man had seen all of God at one time. No man can say, describe and expound upon the majesty, the awesomeness, the vastness of God. Nobody can. But the love of God is without mystery. Hearing is love. You know what would be? The greatest part of any church service is the love of God on full display. It is. It is. I say this a lot. I don't want to hear singing in a perfect tune. I want to hear singing in perfect love. Don't you? Don't you? I'd rather sit under a preacher I know he loves me and he prays for me than sit under the greatest biblical theologian that Dallas Seminary has ever produced. I don't so much care about head knowledge. I care more anymore about heart knowledge, don't you? I don't care so much about, wow, that was so complicated and so wonderful and so technical. Wow, he's so smart. I don't care about that no more. That don't change my life like that old coal miner Jesus saved and was born again by the grace of God, had the quickest temper the world has ever seen. But when, by the time the love of God was perfected in him, he had the quickest loving response. He completely turned it around. What is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 6:17. If any man, behold, look at it, consider it, be impressed by it, let it draw your eye. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What's the great definition of a Christian? Boy, they're a good singer. No, let that not be it. Since the love of God is no longer shrouded in mystery, and this is love. And verse number 12, if we love like that, God dwelleth in us. Look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. How? And he in us. How do I know? Because he hath given us his spirit. And what spirit is he talking about? The loving spirit of God. That's how you know. That's how you know. That's how you know. You know what you should be encouraged about? You might think, Josh Green, he gets on my nerves so bad. I wanted to use another name, but you might think that they really might. So maybe I shouldn't. I'll use my own. He gets on my nerves so bad. But I cannot keep from loving that guy. Why? Because I'm so charming? No. Because Jesus died for him. And God loved him so much, he sent his son to be the propitiation. God, instead of being mad at Josh, poured out his anger on his own son. And if God can love Josh like that without merit, he jerked the stool out from under me. I have no excuse. Not only do I have no excuse, it should be your nature to love like God loves. Amen. I remember one time, I'll close with this. I guess the Lord's reminding me of this. I should tell you. I remember one time. I don't get to hear him anymore, if that much, for whatever reason. I guess TV channels or. But I've always been impressed by the ministry of William Boyd Bingham. I have been, and I watched him on TV. I'd rather have met him than anybody, really. And I got to go hear him preach. And after the sermon, he was standing up there, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go meet this man. He don't know me. He don't know who I am. So I stood in line, and I got to shake his hand. And that little preacher, they call it, the little preacher from Kentucky, I shook his hand. And I say this because it's happened to me the other way. And I can't help it. I'm taking the Bible literally. Folks that get up there, and they act, they seem to be Christian leaders, but when the public eye is off, they're not that kind. They're kind of rude. They have to go, you know. They have to go, you know. I remember one time, I think it might have been the same evening. It was the same meeting, series of meetings I went to. Lord, forgive me for littering. I littered. I couldn't help it. There was a group that was singing that night, and I said, hey, can I get your information? And he hardly wouldn't talk to me. And he said, where at? I told him, Westside Baptist Church. Where at? This is rude. You know, he had to get his equipment up. No, he has to love people because that's the love of God. The Lord changed his nature, right? That the mystery, is it's not hidden no more. It shouldn't be hidden in you. If God is fully, absolutely letting it all be known that hearing is love, that nobody really understands all of God, but with the exception of the love of God, hearing His love. No, you got to get your aunt put up in the car. No, if you come in Jesus' name, you better act like Jesus. Amen? Very rude to me. I was mad, Lord forgive me. I put that card in the drain, storm drain, on the way home. There was a drain right next to the truck. I went, boop, it's biodegradable. It come from wood. Amen? I don't do it all the time. Hardly at all. I was angry. But anyway, the same evening, the same series of meetings, I stood in line and was waiting to shake William Boyd Bingham's hand. You know, like he talked to me that night like he'd known me for 10 years. I said, my wife's here. He said, oh, go get her. I want to meet. His wife was named Joan, I think is Joan. He said, I'll bring her. And then he said, remember Brittany? He said, go get your wife. I was like, I don't even know how to handle this hospitality. He wants to meet my wife. So I did. I was like, I felt kind of weird. We shouldn't be taken aback by such love. It should be natural. And I went and got Brittany. I said, Boyd wants to meet you. Why is that so weird? It shouldn't be that way. And I brought Brittany, and he said, you remember Brittany? He said, go meet Joan. Go meet Joan, his wife. We didn't. There was a crowd around her. But I thought on the way home, that's the love of God. That's it. He's not the only one who knows, but that man knows the God he's preaching about. He knows it. He knows God. Hearing his love. He don't know me from anybody. He loved me. I felt it. You ever meet somebody, you feel the love of God in them? It just shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, love like that. Love like that. You say, well, I want to have a good church meeting. I want to enjoy the house of God. Then love people. Just love them. Hearing his love. If you'll do that, oh, the joy that'll fill our souls. We'll lose that expectation that, well, I must be performed to if it ever should come to your mind. Entertain me. No, I came here because I love God's people. And I love God and I love the people who God loves. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I just can't help it. I just love them so much. I can't help it. I don't know why. I just love them so much. I just love them so much. I just love them so much. What must that mean? You've been born again. You've been born again. You love them so much. So much. Hearing his love. Amen. Lord's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll be dismissed in a song. What song are we going to sing, Bryson? 410. Page number 410. If you're in need of prayer, you come. You want to go and tell somebody you love them, you go do it. You go do it. You know, I've been in a friend of mine, he was talking about a meeting he had last Sunday. And he was describing the meeting. You know when the meeting became a meeting? You know it. When they were meeting with each other and they were meeting with God. You know when it happened? You've seen it a bunch, haven't you? Just right in the middle of the church service, one of them other members got up right in the middle. You can do it. Got up right in the middle of it. Went over there and told one of them other church members, I just love you, and hugged their neck. You know what happened? It came a meeting. You know what's happening, don't you? The meeting started happening. This is because of love. Let's sing together. Maybe you're in need of prayer. You come.